Welcome back to the Successful Diligence Podcast. I am so grateful that you are back for another episode. Please do take note that all opinions and recommendations and encouragements that are shared on this podcast are my personal opinion or the opinion of the guests that I have on. It is not to be taken as medical or mental health advice. Please do consult your medical professional or your mental health professional with any questions or changes that you would like to make regarding your own personal situation. Welcome back to the Successful Diligence Podcast. I am so grateful you are back for another episode. I never take it for granted that you come back and listen to the show. And more than that, that you give me feedback, whether it is on the Apple Podcast platform through those stars and those reviews that mean so much, or whether it is through successfuldiligence.com/contact where you send me emails, or the most fun when you send those voice messages through the link in the show notes. I love answering those. And I personally answer every email and every voicemail message. So keep them coming. And thank you so much for being here. Now, today I have a very special guest. I'm super excited about this conversation. I know you're going to get a lot of value. I would encourage you to maybe take out a journal, a piece of paper, a sticky pad. You might want to take some notes on this one. I have with me today Phoebe Leona. Now, she is a dancer, yoga teacher, and transformational guide who helps men and women feel more embodied through somatic movement and expanded awareness practices to become more empowered in who they are, who they're becoming, and to have a greater sense of belonging. Now, she has been a teacher and a guide for most of her life, but it was after a year of extreme loss in 2013 when she found herself in the vast open space in between her old life and her new life. And who can relate to that? Now, Phoebe dove deeply into her practices and began her company, Nomad, to help others through their own transformations and their own transitions and their own spaces in between. And throughout that time, Phoebe also developed her own movement somatic practice, MVT 109, which is trademarked, for students to fully embrace the freedom of moving in their bodies, transform old and held patterns, and reclaim the stories that they want to bring to life. Now, you can get a feel of this movement practice in her course on Daily OM. Phoebe also finds joy in sharing her own story, which we're going to get into, to help others in their own healing. And you can learn more about Phoebe's story right here on this episode of the podcast. But also, if you want more, she does have a TEDx talk. She has her own podcast, The Space in Between, and her multi-author international best-selling book, Caged No More. Now, her first solo book will be released by Grace Point Publishing later this year, and we are recording in the year of 2021. I'm looking forward to that. Now, her newest endeavor is partnering up with Grace Point to establish her own press, Nomad Press, to offer opportunities to people who want to heal our world through their stories. Powerful, powerful stuff. Welcome to the show, Phoebe.
Hi, Michelle. Thank you so much for having me here.
I am so excited to introduce you to my audience and get to know you better. So for myself, my audience who are getting to know you on a deeper level, tell us a little bit about who you are beyond the bio and how you came to do the work that you do and to the place that you are today.
Oh, well, thank you. I mean, first of all, thank you for that beautiful bio, giving a little bit of information about me. I'm thinking, what is beyond the bio? I'm a human that has gone through a lot throughout my childhood. What I want to say right off the bat was I was really grateful for the childhood, the challenges that were presented in my childhood, but also the gift of movement. So just to give you a little bit of an idea of what that means is I was raised primarily by my father, who suffered from severe PTSD. He was a Vietnam vet. He had done two tours in Vietnam, and he also abused drugs for a huge part of his life. And so he was my primary caretaker. And the childhood was very tumultuous, very chaotic, didn't quite know what I was going to get. But at the same time, I knew that he loved me. I knew that he loved me very dearly. That was never an issue of feeling loved. It was just the safety was really more the issue. So I had, and my mom likes to joke that I was dancing before I walked because I was in the jolly jumper, kind of bopping up and down. So I was a mover from the get-go, and that was what turned into be my therapy. So whenever I wasn't feeling safe, I was always safe enough to go into my room, close my door, put the music on and dance. And so I didn't realize at the time that that was my saving grace. But as I became, you know, a yoga teacher, a Pilates teacher, other modalities and healing, and started to dive into the study of therapy and somatics, I realized, oh my gosh, this was really truly a blessing to have this movement. So that's become my mission now, is to help other people embody, first of all, their bodies, to feel safe in their body, but to also help them understand that movement can help you move the energy and heal what might be not looked at ever or for some time. So that's a little bit about me, but I'm sure there's more where we'll go, but that's a starting point.
we'll dive deep, but that is a great starting point. You know, it's so interesting. And for some listeners, they may not know what the word somatic means. I happen to know what it means, but can you define what somatic means?
Yeah. So we can think of just the experience of your body. So somatic is the awareness of your body. And we can take the movement piece out of it for now. It's really just leaning in and understanding, okay, what is happening right here, right now? And a lot of times when we tune into that experience, we don't want to go there because we feel what we tend to call pain in some way. And so it's changing that relationship. At least for me, this is what I've been finding with myself and my students, is we're changing this relationship to our body, starting with this word we call pain and seeing it more of a sensation, a messenger of sense with sensation, and to see, okay, there's a story here. Maybe it's a really simple story of, oh, I overuse, I have my bag on my shoulder for years and years, and I feel that the sensation of feeling tight in my shoulder. So we start to unpack those stories, and then we can add in the movement piece where we start to repattern the body and the way that it's holding that story and release it.
Yeah, I love that. I love that. I wanted to just define the somatic piece because, you know, listeners, you may go to the doctor and they may ask you, well, what's going on with you, right? And as you describe your symptoms, some of them are described as somatic and other ones are described otherwise. And so I wanted to make sure that we were all talking about the same thing because, you know, I like the language understanding. Yes, so that feeling, that awareness, that paying attention to the sensations and what your body is feeling is so important. And I love how you framed it as a gift as a child, because a lot of times people don't give language to expression. And children and adults, because we are all children on the inside that grow up into the adults that have that inner child in us. And we always feel and we always know, even if we don't have the language for it. And with trauma work, as I'm sure you know, our bodies hold on to that. And yes, we assign a narrative and a story to it, whether or not it's true, but our bodies do hold on to that energy. And so that gift, that, as you describe it, of release through dance or through movement was very key, because a lot of people don't get that early in life and they have to sit quietly and, you know, they're not taught to move and to get that energy sort of flowing. So I love that part of your story, that you were given that and that you took that to now give that gift to others of that awareness. Because listeners, we talk about this all the time, and let me know, Phoebe, what your thoughts are.
Yeah.
But oftentimes those deep-seated challenge points in our life, or those lessons that we learn early on, are really not for us. They're for us to conquer, be empowered by, and then give to other people as a lesson, as an empowerment technique, as a gift. What are your thoughts about that?
Well, there are so many good gems there that I want to reflect back. So before I get to that piece, there was something that you spoke about in terms of the language. And we really, honestly, our movement is the first language that we know, right? We actually don't speak words until what, one? I mean, we might start to make sounds, but we're moving right from the get-go. And so what happens is this conditioning of, you know, our parents start to say no to things, and then we start to respond, right? Our body reacts to, so we don't put our hand on the hot, you know, the hot plate or whatever. So we start to learn, we start to become conditioned to clamp down. And so to speak to what you were saying about trauma, when we have those moments where we don't feel safe, we start to clamp down, and that's where we start to hold the stories that, as you were speaking to, in our bodies. And that's the movement piece where it comes to release that.
And even before we get language, I was thinking, as you were talking, as a baby, when we're hungry and we move our head, if you've ever watched like an infant, like a newborn, a couple of days old, and they move their head around looking for the breast, like, I want food, where do I get it from?
Yep.
So they're moving and they're communicating with nonverbal language, which is what movement is. Yeah. I love that. I love that. I just wanted to highlight that out there, because a lot of times in our relationships, even as adults, and I'm particularly very sensitive to this and very intuitive to the nonverbal, the unsaid, the subtext, the movement from other people while I'm speaking with them, especially my husband, that nonverbal language and feedback that you get from another person. And I'd love to explore this about, do you think we consciously assign stories and narratives to other people's movements or our own awareness of our own movements? Or do you think it's sort of just an unconscious assignment that we place on it?
I think most of it is unconscious. I mean, except for people like you, who you sound like you're really intuitive and you're aware of it, right? You're looking at him, you're seeing, but there's so much that's happening unconsciously. So we could have this whole conversation and not talk about movement, right? And we might be picking up on something else, but it might be more of the story that I'm carrying. You know, before we started to press record, we both kind of shared the stories of our day. And okay, I'm feeling a little bit lethargic today. You were feeling tired because you were so energized from all the other things you did. And so we might have had a whole different experience if we didn't communicate that, right? And I might have carried my story of why I'm tired and why Michelle's, you know, responding it this way. So yeah, there are those unconscious stories, but then there is, you know, people who are leaning into becoming more aware. They're turning that light on. And I have an idea that your listeners are part of that, you know, a huge part of that population who are leaning in and becoming more aware of these, you know, what we seemingly think are unconscious. They're bringing them to light, to the conscious, to say, okay, let's see if there's something more going on here in that person's body language, right? Maybe it isn't just how I'm feeling, but maybe there's a story on their side of it. And we can start to have that you know, that conversation.
And even the conversation with ourselves, because I'm also thinking just about your expertise, becoming aware of our own movement and feelings. And, you know, if I'm like, I carry stress in the back of my neck, but I didn't know that's what that was for years until I did some exploration. And I was like, oh, well, that makes sense why I get headaches and migraines when I'm not feeling well and when I'm stressed out, because that's where I carry my stress. And then I learned how to release that physically, and then that energy goes away. So you can learn techniques. But I think the stories we tell ourselves about what we feel is so important, because we can be telling ourselves a story that's simply not true.
Yeah, that's so true. And that's to go back to what I was saying before about pain. I have really, for myself, and I'm encouraging other people to take that word out of it, because even, I'll explain my personal story of it, but even when we say this word pain, it's carrying a story of that unconsciously. So for me, my story with pain was I'd have really horrible menstrual cramps for years, and they were getting worse and worse and worse. And I kept saying, oh, they're so painful, right? I had this story. And now there might have been another story that was underlying it, not just how it happens every 28 days, but just the experience of being a woman and all of the pain that we've carried through the generations. There might have been that whole other underlying story. It might have been something that happened to me, you know, in my young adulthood of being raped. I'm not sure, but there was this unconscious, painful, quote unquote, story that every time I felt that sensation of, you know, that experience, I was carrying that story, those stories with me. And so what I started to do is I leaned into it and I said, okay, here you are again, my friend. What does that sensation feel like? Right. And so it first started like, okay, it feels like a demon child inside of me with nails clawing, wanting to claw out. I said, okay, well, let's have a little bit more of a conversation. Why do you want to get out? Right. And so I started to have this conversation almost like it was a friend. And if a friend came to me and said that they were in some sort of state that didn't feel comfortable, how would that sound like? How would that feel? And so when I started to befriend this sensation that felt like pain, it really started to shift. It shape shift. It might have moved somewhere else in my body. It might have dissipated. It might have broken up. It works, you know, kind of expanded and dissolved somewhere else into the ether. But the relationship absolutely changed. So that's a little bit of my story.
That's so fascinating because, you know, I think that even as I have processed trauma, you know, whether it be molestation or rape or just the trauma of rejection, you know, trauma is very individualized for people. And, you know, I noticed that to your point, the word pain, even if you just say pain, like listeners, just say the word pain and immediately you have a picture, you have a story, you have a feeling that comes up about it versus if you say like challenge or opportunity or another word in its place, whatever you put there. And what I have found is that as I process things, if I put a neutral word in place of whatever word is triggering me or causing an emotional reaction, I'm able to then be more objective and sort of work with myself a little bit better. So that's a technique that I use. But I love also your concept about using that friend framework when we're talking about emotions and our stories, because, and I don't know if you subscribe to this, but I am a big believer that we are not trees. If we don't like something, we can move. We can change things. We are not stuck where we are, right? Yeah. And, you know, if there's a story or a narrative that is not serving us and that is causing emotions, physical manifestations of experiences or emotions, which happens, you guys, we can change that. It takes intention. It takes effort. Sometimes you need help, which means you need a coach, you need a therapist, whatever person is going to step alongside the journey with you. And there is work to be done, but it can change and it can get better and you can transform. But I really am beginning to believe the more that I learn about like breath work and the different techniques and actual like exercise and science behind it, movement is so key to emotional health and the journey towards freedom, really. And it's fascinating to me.
It's fascinating to me too, Michelle. That's why
I love it. I love it. So tell me more about the work that you do, like in terms of the practicality or like some techniques that we can share with the audience. So like if I'm having a hard day, let's say, and I'm not really aware or conscious about my emotions behind it, but I just know that I'm feeling blah and my body is just tired feeling. And I'm just like, that kind of like blah kind of day that we've all had in 2020 and going into 2021.
Yeah. The malaise.
What can we do with that?
You know, I think that that's very individual, but it, for me, I like to put music on. So if I'm in that blah state, I put something that's opposite of that to just get the energy moving. So I just need to put on an angry song or a happy song, whatever. You get to choose that. Like you said, we're not trees. But just the movement or just go outside. I mean, it's really, that's the thing is a lot of these practices are really simple. They're really simple. And if you want to just flip the switch, those are the two quickest ways I've found is to go move outside or to put music on. But you were speaking to the emotions, and I wanted to speak to this too, because we chatted about a week or so ago, and I was telling you a little bit about my book, and you lit up And I thought, oh, we need to make sure. So you spoke about the emotions, and this is a practice that has been super helpful for me. And this is a huge part of the book that's coming out later on, is I'm writing letters to my emotions. So maybe you sit down and you feel like blah, as you said, and you can start to write a letter to dear blah, and then just start to basically say whatever you need to say to blah. And sometimes blah might write a letter back. And that's where it gets really interesting. So when I was going through my own emotional journey, I was experiencing emotions that, like anger, that I was afraid of anger. I mean, I think a lot of people are afraid of anger, but I had a very intimate relationship with it because my father, with his PTSD, he went into flashback and there was a lot of rage there. And so I experienced his rage, but then I also experienced myself having anger or rage, and I didn't want to become him. And I was super scared of that. So I pushed it off to the side, and it was also just this naturally happy, you know, positive person. And so whenever I started to lean into anger, it was just, no, I'm good, I'm happy, you know, and skip along and do my thing. So it wasn't until 2013, which you read in the bio, where my father died and I went through a divorce and I was in therapy, and she kept saying to me, you know, what's going on with this anger? You should be angry. And I said, I'm just not an angry person. And then life happened, not to me, but for me. Life was happening for me to get me angry. And so I went through a whole bunch of different scenarios that we can go into if you want, but that's not really the point of what happened, but it was igniting that fire that I needed to feel. And so when it didn't feel comfortable, that was one of the things that I did, was I wrote a letter to anger. And I said, anger, I don't like you. I don't want anything to do with you. But you're still here. And so let's figure out how we can negotiate this space when you show up. Because I
freaking love that. Oh my gosh. Like, I love that technique about writing letters to your emotions, because yeah. I did an interview, I think I shared with you in our previous chat, where I talked about the fact that, like you, people don't talk about the friend that they make with rage or anger. So if you're not an avoider of rage or anger, I actually went towards it and befriended rage and anger, yeah. and got empowered and felt very empowered by those emotions, but they didn't always serve me because I made poor choices while in those emotional states. Right. Yeah. And people don't like to talk about those uncomfortable, messy, dark emotions, which I love how you always go back to reframing, because they're really not dark, messy things. They're gifts in disguise. Yeah. And I love what you said. It struck me. And listeners, I hope you picked up on it. You said life was happening for you and kept showing you anger because mm-hmm. you needed to deal with it, right? And yeah. listeners, we've talked about this. Life is going to bring you the lessons you need to learn. And when you're ready, the teacher appears. Sometimes you don't think you're ready, but if the lesson's in front of you and the teacher is there, I have to tell you a secret, you're ready. You're strong enough. You can do this. And so yeah. if you are like, wow, I didn't realize that I had this to deal with, like you were saying, and someone keeps telling you, yeah, this is the feedback I'm giving you, pay attention to that, because that is a gift in disguise. And once you go through the forest, you come out the other side, and it's a beautiful gift that you have for yourself and for others. I freaking love writing letters to emotions. I just think that is such a great technique. Listeners, write that down as a takeaway, because that is incredible.
Yeah.
So talk to me a little about the emotion writing back. Is that like you writing as the emotion back, or what is that? How does that work?
So I won't take full credit, because I did this in a workshop with Elizabeth Gilbert a few years ago. So I had been writing letters to my emotions, but then we wrote a letter to fear. And then she said to have fear write the letter back to you. And then we did a whole thing where we asked, you know, we listened to that we are channeling it, right? We're channeling the fear and we're writing as fear to you, kind of defending it, fear, you know, like, this is why I'm afraid. I'm protecting you. You know, there's this whole conversation. But then the really interesting thing happened was she asked us, whose voice was that? And that was such a game changer for me, because it wasn't my actual voice. It was somebody outside of me telling me to be afraid of that.
That is so fascinating.
Yeah. And I mean, I'm not saying that that's going to happen to everybody. That might, you might actually have a voice within you speaking. But for me, it was something outside of myself. And I realized, ooh, okay, that doesn't belong here. That's not even mine.
That resonates. I got to jump in here, because that resonates so much with me. And listeners, I always talk about, you know, paying attention to what your thoughts are and how you're thinking. I have a whole course on thinking, but there are thoughts that come into your brain and into your head that are not yours. They're in your mind, but they don't belong to you. They're not from you. They're not for you. And some of them need to just pass on through. But a lot of times we adopt those and work them and weave them into our narrative. And so I love that pause in the writing of the letters back and forth of identifying, is this me? Is this my voice, or is this someone else's? And then choosing to either release it or incorporate it. That is so powerful.
It really is powerful.
I mean, like, incredibly transformative power. Yeah. That right there, listeners, if that's all you get from this conversation, oh my gosh.
That's all.
That's all you need.
Mic drop, done.
That is incredible. Oh my gosh.
Yeah.
Wow. Okay. So let's get more into
the
narrative piece, because I think, you know, people talk about mindset and they talk about their stories, and there's a lot of work around that. Do you work with your clients, and how do you help people if you do or don't, or yourself, about writing and rewriting that story? Like, how do you do it?
How do I do it? Well, I work through the body, and I work through the body first. And so that's where the movement practice, Movement 109, comes in, where, well, we need to first feel as safe. So a lot of, and for all of us, I think I can speak collectively now. I used to say, you know, for most of us, but I think that we can easily say now that we are all have been triggered in some way, in some traumatic state this past almost 2 years now. So when we don't feel safe, we can't really make logic, I mean, actual decisions that could better the benefit of ourselves and humanity, right? Because we're in that just survival mode. So when we can drop down into what we call the parasympathetic nervous system, that's our rest and digest system, we can come back to homeostasis, we can recover, and we can start to align with, okay, that, like the voices we were just talking about, okay, that we can start to decipher what voices are mine and what are not, and how do I need to align with the track that I'm on, right? The path that I'm on. So we first bring ourselves down into the body. And so a lot of the movement that we do first is just lying down on the floor. The conversations that we had before that I mentioned of, you know, just checking in with the sensations, moving with it, moving around it, just observing the patterns that we hold. And then remembering it, your body is actually a safe place to be. And so once we can get there, we'll move through it. There's movement that looks like dance, I tell people who are scared of dancing. It might look like dancing.
Who think they can't dance.
Exactly. So I just say, it might look like dance, but with music on, but it's just movement, free movement. There are no right or wrongs here. So a lot of it is movement-based, but then there's the whole writing piece. And so we can do lots of different exercises like that, getting them to write, you know, letters to their emotions, looking at, you know, creating a safe place. So there are a lot of visualizations that I lead of, you know, what is a safe place for you? What is a nurturing figure for you? What is, you know, protective figure for you? So we start to look at how do we want to embody that for ourselves? So we're giving them agency again. So a lot of it is, that's the expanded awareness. So we're talking about the somatic is looking really deeply inward at the body. And then the expanded awareness is more of the writing experiences and the visualizations that I lead, so that people can see the bigger picture of how they fit into this whole collective.
It almost speaks to me from a psychological aspect of the subconscious and the unconscious. And, you know, it's interesting though, because I'm thinking about, like, I'm a person who's like, I can't dance, right? I got a little bit of rhythm, but you know.
Come on, girl, you can dance. Everyone can.
Now I can move. But what I've noticed sometimes is in those moments where I'm working through something that I don't necessarily have language for, I've noticed that when I move, whether it's through walking, whether it's through moving that looks like dance or could be dance if we interpret it that way, mm-hmm. or just through like breath work and just allowing my body to just move as it wants to in that moment, mm-hmm. I've noticed that when there's no language, that movement really does release the energy. And I almost don't need the language at that point because I've released it. And that's sort of the unconscious pre-language. I don't even have the words for it right now, but it's that non-verbal, non-language part of us, that knowing that needs to be expressed, even if it's in a way we don't understand. And I think, you know, to your point, people are not always comfortable with that because it's new. So how do you get people comfortable with what's new to them? And they're like, you know, when someone comes to you to work with you and they're like, well, I don't know about all this, it seems a little hokey.
Yeah.
Like, how do you work with them and how do you get them on board?
Well, I have to say, you know, a lot of people who come to me, they already know what they're signing up for, but a lot of them have already come to me through yoga, because I've taught yoga for 15, 20 years. So they did come through that door, and they might be a little bit apprehensive at first because they want to do their down dogs and their up dogs. And this thing rolling on the floor is not quite, you know, an asana. There's not an asana name, you know, the physical practice name for it. So it's like, oh, okay. So there is a little bit of weaning people into it. But I always meet people where they're at. So if you do come to me, there's a referral and you're thinking, what is this? What did you call it? Woo-woo or hoo-ha or something? What did
hokey,
you say?
I don't
hokey. I don't know either. But yeah, hokey, whatever the word is, and they feel a little out of their body, then I'll meet them where they're at. So maybe we don't move the first session. Maybe we just have a little conversation about where you are in your life, why you feel called to work with me. So they might not even really know. So let's just talk about what's going on in your life. Is there something else that was, you know, in the past that maybe you feel like you need to unpack in some way? And you might not even know consciously. So when we get into the body, we'll lie down, we'll do a little bit of meditation, we'll do a little bit of easy movement. Nothing that's going to take them out of their comfort zone, because again, we want them to feel safe in their body. So I'm not going to push the person to come out of their, you know, that experience just for the sake of like, this is what I teach, right? So I always meet people where they're at.
I love that, because that's so respectful. I think that when people, and I'm a big believer, listeners, you've heard me say this all the time, that there are people that we're assigned to in life, and there's people that are assigned to us for different reasons and purposes, mm-hmm. and different seasons and all of the things. And sometimes you might know why someone's in your life, and other times you may not, and that's okay. Just show up and keep walking and do the work, and you will get to where you're heading, and get what you need. Because sometimes, again, going back to that nonverbal, there's not always language in terms of verbal language out of your mouth, right? But there is that language of knowing, and that body language, and that energy that all of us have and know inside of us, that knowing that, you know, trust it, because it typically does not lead you down the wrong path. And again, you're not a tree. You can always move.
I love that. That's my takeaway, Michelle. I'm not a tree.
We are not trees. We can move. I love it. Well, Phoebe, you know, as we're sort of coming to the end of our conversation, and I just feel like we could talk about so many other different things. So I may have to have you come back on.
Yes.
But from this conversation, what are like one or two things you really want the listeners to remember, to highlight, to really walk away from the conversation with?
Yeah, well, there were a couple of times when you were speaking and reflecting back what I had said, I thought, I kept hearing, oh, I need to say this mantra. So I'm going to share it with you all. This was passed on to my teacher. It's a well-known kind of thought in the Eastern philosophy, is that your karma is your dharma. So karma, we have this idea of karma being, you know, the things that happen to you, right? That's kind of what the Western world thinks of karma is like, oh, if you do bad things will happen to you. If you do good things will happen to you. But karma is really just the lessons that come to you. So the dharma means purpose. So if something happens to you, right, if we're looking at it that kind of that victim way, we can shift that perspective to how things are happening for me so that I can help. You know, for me, what happened was the childhood that I was given. Yeah, I could look at that happening to me and carry that, you know, victimhood my whole life of, oh, I had an, you know, abusive father. But I looked at it instead of, okay, how can I use this to help heal myself, but then also to help heal others? So whatever's being dealt, what you see as quote unquote for to you, it's really happening for you. And how can you transform that into bettering your life and your world?
I love that. This happened for me so that I can. Mm-hmm. I love that. That right there, if you just, you know, are having a bad day, quote unquote, now I'm really mm-hmm. conscious about my language, right?
Mm-hmm.
if you're having an experience, this is happening for me mm-hmm. so that I can. And that starts your narrative. And then guess what? If you don't like that narrative, you can change it too.
Exactly.
And that's all about the reframing and the reshifting. But I love that. That's a wonderful start for someone.
Yeah.
This is happening for me so that I can. Oh, I just love that. I love that. Okay. What's another nugget that you want to highlight?
To go along with that is that we always have a choice. I mean, to go with my takeaway from you, Michelle, is you're not a tree, you can move, but you always have a choice. No matter what is happening to you, for you, whatever, if it's not in alignment with where you want to go, you get to choose. You get to choose.
And that is so empowering. Listeners, how powerful are you? You have a superpower of choice. I absolutely love that. Phoebe, I know that you have so much to offer. You guys, I'm going to link her TEDx talk in the show notes, as well as everything that she's about to share with us. But if people are like, I'm really resonating with Phoebe, I need more of her, I need to learn about her courses, I need to get her book, how can people connect with you? Where can they find you?
Yes, thank you. So they can easily find me at thenomadcollective.org. And that will be the beautiful landing page of my company, Nomad. But then there's a page for myself, and the book is there, the TEDx is there, and all of my programs that are happening. So by the time this comes out, I will have already launched a program that I'm really proud of. It's called The Radiant Storyteller. And it's to go along with the book that's coming out later this year. And it's taking people through an emotional recovery journey. So a little bit of what we talked about here today with the movement, with writing letters, a lot of the big chunk of the book is actually my experience of writing letters to these emotions. But at the end of each chapter are the somatic and expanded awareness practices that helped me befriend, you know, anger and shame and guilt and numbness. So I work with people within a group setting to take them through their emotional recovery journey. But then the piece that I really absolutely love and brings me so much joy is to empower people in their story. So each person in the program has their own ceremony where we have them step into their own story, they share it, and then we go through the movement practice. And there's their playlist. They put together their own playlist so that we can celebrate them and move through whatever that we need to transform and release for them. And we close the ceremony so that they can step into the next chapter.
The Radiant Storyteller?
The Radiant Storyteller.
Oh, I love that. That title just really, I was like, ooh, that resonated with me.
Yeah. So that you can hold the light in the dark. Because what mm-hmm. we had in this conversation here today are, you know, talking about those emotions that don't feel comfortable. We need them. Like you said, you leaned into it and it really gave you that power that you needed that fire to light you up. So we want to look at these darker, you know, images, these darker emotions that we don't really want to talk about or deal with, right? We want to actually see what can they do for us.
And a lot of times when you bring the light to them, they're not mm-hmm. as scary as they start out thinking that, you know, they are. And I love that the image that came to me was being a candle in a room of darkness. Mm. And so you just light it up. And the more that you connect with who you are, the truth of who you are, and begin to connect with it and share it, the brighter that candle burns until the entire room is just filled with light. That was just the image that I got. Mm-hmm. I just absolutely love that. Oh, Phoebe, this has been so, so good. Such a great conversation. So much goodness. Listeners, if you need to rewind and pick up some of those nuggets, I'm telling you, there were some really good strategies, and also just concepts that if you just meditate on them and think about it, put into practice one or two of them, you really will be on your journey of transformation. And I'm just so grateful, Phoebe, for the work you do, for who you are, for sharing. Thank you so much for coming on the show.
Oh my gosh, Michelle, thank you. This is such a joy. You know, we talked about a week ago and we connected right away, and I love being with you, and I have a feeling all of your listeners are just as fabulous as you. So thank you all for listening and for being here and you holding that space, Michelle.
I love my listeners. Some of them are better than I have to say, but I love every single listener. You mean the world to me. And I'm just so glad we connected, Phoebe. I'm really excited about, you know, future collaborations as well. Yes. And definitely I'll be sharing, you know, your programs and your book when it comes out. As a fellow author, I know how that is when you publish a new book and it's like, tell the world, buy it, mm-hmm. support. So we here at Successful Diligence Community will definitely be supporting you. And listeners, as I always say, keep walking, always, always keep walking, never stop walking, because if you continue to walk step by step, day by day, you will reach your destination. You will reach where you are supposed to be on your journey. And on the journey, I encourage you to always, always find those moments, shift into the perspective of gratitude.
As you know, every single episode, I end with my encouragement for you to choose gratitude on your journey as you keep walking. But have you ever asked yourself, that's great, Michelle, but how do I do that? How do I implement gratitude? How do I choose gratitude? It's not easy living this life. And sometimes I don't feel very grateful. How do I incorporate gratitude into my daily life? Well, I've got you covered. Just for you, I have a Gateway to Gratitude mini course in the Successful Diligence School. There is a link in the show notes, as well as a coupon code just for podcast listeners, where you get 50% off. So head to the link in the show notes or successfuldiligence.com and click the school tab on the website. It will take you to the school and you can see the Gateway to Gratitude course, which walks you through how to implement gratitude into your daily life. Trust me, gratitude and gratefulness, when implemented effectively, will change your life.